Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kids' legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids.
We only met a month ago.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your response pouring in. We want to hear from you on the phones and on the text, 248-539-9797. Scoobal, there's a report out of L.A. that a deal is, what was his word, imminent?
Yes. That was already in place.
A deal is already in place. If you believe this, and no other insider has the scoop, but a deal is in place between the Tigers and the Dodgers to trade Tarek Skubal. Whether it's true or not, it just fires things back up at the winter meetings. Do you want him traded? Do you want to keep him? Do you want to sign him? Those are your three choices. 248-539-9797. Now, this response says, what about the fourth option? Wait until July 31st, see how you're doing, trade him then, from Rob.
Wait till the trade deadline?
I see a lot of issues with that. One issue, he gets hurt. Second issue, he's healthy and you're in it. Well, now you got to keep him. And now we could walk for nothing. And if you didn't bolster your roster, you're headed for the same conclusion as the last 2 years, a playoff berth and then an exit before the ALCS. Right?
Right. And I mean,
so how does that get me any... I'm gonna take that risk.
A pitcher that, you know, and is whether it was a team decision, it's AJ's decision, it was Skubal's, or it was a decision that was predetermined that, hey, until the contract is done, I'm just not going over 95 pitches. Like, I have an issue, and maybe somebody could call me out on it. I know I'm putting this out there where, okay, I know it's not 1984 again where you're going to have Nolan Ryan or Dan Petrie, Jack Morris go in complete games multiple times during the season. I understand that. But as that philosophy shifts, I think you also your business model also has to shift. If you got a guy that's only going to go six innings or seven max, and he's only going to be out there once every 5 days.
Yeah.
If I was running a team, I don't think I would pony up unless I'm the Dodgers and I could throw money at every position as much as I want. That's not going to be a part of my business model.
Good morning, guys. I'm getting tired of the Skubal situation. I believe it's best for both sides to trade him. I'm in the trade camp. If Harris makes the proper moves, they would be stronger than last year, Al and McComb.
So I guess they would be
stronger without Skubal. I think you'd be taking a step back for a year.
I don't necessarily know that you have to take a step back. Well, you don't have that dominant ace.
You know the numbers. When Skubal pitches, they're 21 games over 500 over the last 2 years. When he plays, they're a 500 team. So without him, you're a 500 baseball team.
So does the team with the ace win the World Series every year?
No, but again...
So you can't do it without a Tarek Skubal.
The Tigers are going to suddenly build a much better baseball team overnight. Sure, I don't see that. John, here's the stat. 42-20 in Skubal starts the last 2 years. 131 and 131 in non-Skubal starts.
I understand that. And yes, you know, what do you think of the rest of the guys? Obviously, more would be put on Reese Olson. More would be put on everyone. And they would have to go out there and get another starting pitcher. Maybe a couple. They probably do now. Yeah. But it's... And I know you're gonna hate when I say this.
No, say it. Go ahead. Speak your mind.
It's also... Yes, you want to win a World Series right now. I understand that. But are you willing to just... put all your eggs in one basket and hope that you're going to run things back with the same bats?
No.
With Skubal? Because if you pay Skubal, I don't think you're paying anyone else. And if that's the case,
you have to trade him.
Right.
I mean, all roads lead to you trading him.
Yeah. I believe that's the case.
Whether it's now or in late July, preferably now, but nobody likes trading a star. It's just the harsh realities of where the Tigers are, what the Tigers are willing to do, and the road in front of them. All roads lead to trade Tarek Skubal, which is why you're seeing people talk about it at the winter meetings.
The wild card that we have no idea about, and I don't know that the franchises do, I don't know that the union does, is what is the result of a work stoppage in 27? Mm-hmm. And whether it lasts 2 weeks, maybe it doesn't last at all. Maybe they're able to come to a decision, which I believe is unlikely because what the owners want is some type of cost control. Players don't want that at all. And so is it a 2 week stoppage? Is it a 2 month stoppage? Is there any baseball in 27? What is the thinking? What is ownership going to say? Hey, we have to come out of this new CBA. These terms are non-negotiable. We have to have some type of cost control, whether we have baseball or not in 27.
It's how dug in they want to get.
Right. Yeah. And so if there is that sentiment amongst owners, then you run it back and say, okay, we think we're going to get this out of the CBA and we can afford him after the new contract is signed and ink is dried.
During a more level playing field.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but even that is a risk because you truly don't know what the result of a labor stoppage would be. Here's some of what Scott Boras had to say at the winter meetings yesterday. Greg, I don't believe this is audio. We have audio of him doing this nursery rhyme deal. This is a new nursery rhyme. We have it with the Scooby, with the mystery machine and everything. Okay, let's do this. We got more? And even one more.
This guy's such a clown.
What is he doing? Do you think he's clowning the Tigers?
I think he's clowning all of Major League Baseball, and the Tigers are at the top of that list. Yes. He's such a clown.
I'd love to know what Scott Harris thinks when he hears that.
What are the instant words that come out of his mouth? Like, I want to know what those words are. We probably can't share them here because they're probably very similar to the same ones that we all use when we hear that.
Probably eye rolls and cringe. And he's got to deal with this guy. He's got to negotiate with this guy.
Tail of the Tiger.
Yeah.
Saber-proof.
Proof.
They're a mystery machine without him.
Anyway, Scooby.
This is quite the circus to the point where people are saying, yeah, just be done with this. He says, this is turning into Bregman 2.0, ready to trade him and just be done. You're not going to upgrade the roster and win with him. He's not signing the extension. Trade his ass. Roy in Clarkston. Guys, I'm tired of Mr. Sharman, Scooble, his goofy agent, and Harris. They could all kick rocks with Jesus sandals on. Tired of all of them. James in Redford. You guys got to stop glazing Skubal. He's overrated. Trade him. His numbers are horrible when he doesn't play in the Central. I don't think he's overrated. He's the best pitcher in the American League. Back-to-back Cy Young Awards.
And I don't think we've done any glazing. We've mentioned basically the fact that he is a two-time Cy Young Award winner.
Dude was the sole reason we lost our elimination game 2 years in a row. I would send him out of here for a bag of peanuts.
Well, I'm hoping to get more than a bag of peanuts. And you will get more than that. But he's an investment. You've built that investment up. Now it just may be time to cash in on that investment.
What if the Dodgers trade includes one of their 47 ace pitchers?
I mean, trust me, they have major league ready players that they could part with.
Yes.
So I get these hunches once in a while. They're not always right. Mm-hmm. I think something's brewing. Like, I think something might happen today or tomorrow. I think there's too much smoke now. I think there's a little bit of damage done. I think the Skubal camp is aware of how quite a few fans feel in this town in terms of what he did in the last playoff game. I just think, I don't know if there's a point of return. Harris said what he said. He said he's tradable. He said any player's tradable on the team.
Yeah.
Do you kind of agree with that? Like, are we getting to a point of no return?
Yeah, the winds of change. Everything's pointing to a trade. The only thing that I think stops a trade from happening would be if they convince themselves, I think they'd be wrong, but convince themselves that running it back with Tarek Skubal and taking another crack at the World Series is worth it.
So that deal, if we're taking this guy out in LA as he's got something, the deal may be in place. And you said it, you think maybe today or tomorrow. I actually think this is one, if it's in place, that they announce, I don't know what, Friday at 4:59 and give everybody the weekend to take a look at it. And all the weekend talk shows will have a chance to talk about it, but it won't really get dissected and talked about until Monday morning.
Yeah, that could happen. I mean, look, for the baseball in terms of you want attention for it, you do it before that. You know, you wouldn't do the Friday news dump on one of the most significant trades in baseball in quite a while.
But it may increase that conversation throughout the course of the weekend when no one's going to be talking about it. Because and here's the thing, is today is the last day of the winter meetings, as it shows me online here,
yeah,
December 7th through 10.
Look, this is where everybody's in one place, and all the chatter takes place. Will it lead to a trade for Tarik Skubal today, tomorrow, Friday, next week? I don't know. I just think this is the natural conclusion to this. 248-539-9797. We'll get some of your thoughts. You got phone calls to get to. Evan Petzold at 7:35 from the winter meetings will give us his perspective. He's on the Tiger beat for the Detroit Free Press. We've been talking about a rumor where Detroit loses a star. I've got a rumor where Detroit gains a star. Ooh. We'll get to that at 7:50. It's 97.1.
FanDuel's the number one sports book for same game parlays, from points to rebounds and threes to assists. FanDuel is the best place to combine your favorite picks into a same game parlay or track every single stat live, all in one easy to use app. So if you haven't downloaded the app, do it now. Right now is the perfect time to join. New customers get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Here's my advice. Take a heavy favorite on the money line. Bet the favorite. If it wins, you're going to get that $150 in bonus bets. Bet on the players that you love the exact way that you want. Head to FanDuel.com/971Detroit to sign up today. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager. Only $5 first deposit is required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry. I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Hey, this is Rico from the Valenti and Rico Show. Look, you don't have to be in Detroit to care about what happens here. We got you covered from Tiger Battles, Red Wing Urgency, Pistons and their playoff hope, and the Lions and the draft. No matter what you like, we got you covered. We'll give you our opinions, and hey, if you don't like them, give us a call and tell us what yours are. That's what you get on this show. Find the Valenti Show with Rico Beard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tarik Skubal's agent, Scott Boras, at the winter meetings. Evan Petzold will join us 7:35, give us the latest on Skubal and everything else the Tigers have going on down in Orlando. 8 o'clock hour, you'll have a chance to win Lions tickets for their final home game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. John, this report from a LA TV guy who says, hey, a deal is in place to send Skubal to the Dodgers. I don't know if it's credible, but I found myself wondering, like, kind of hoping that it is. Because I think the trade is really the only way through this now. They're not going to support him with an adequate offseason. He will walk at the end of next season. John, you've expressed reservations about paying a pitcher, period, the kind of money that he would get, especially a guy who can't go as deep into baseball games. So,
and a guy that's shown when you need him most, you want him on the mound. And we had him in Game 7.
So I'm hoping David Pingelor is beaten Passan and Olney and all the insiders to this. This guy from LA that seems to think a deal is in place. A couple hurdles got to clear. I don't have no idea to know if it's true or not, but it's just part of the conversation today. What do you want to happen? Trade? Sorry, sign? Keep? I know what you meant.
Yeah.
Let's get to Bobby. Bobby, you're on 97.1.
Dude, why did you guys get into baseball? Because you guys seem to know everything there is to know about baseball. Let me remind y'all about 1984's team. How many starting pitchers did we have? Several, right? That got us to the World Series. Mm-hmm. What happened after that 3 years? Most of them were gone, right? Okay, now let's zoom forward to 2000. We had some of the best pitchers ever. More than one starter, right?
Yeah.
That got us to the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
We got rid of all of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? How many of them are still in the league? Two of them. I know. Verlander and the other guy. What is
Scherzer.
Scherzer.
They were too much. We're talking about one damn pitcher. One pitcher. And you want to trade him? And you guys are perpetuating that garbage?
Bobby.
As if you know what's best for the team? I guarantee you. He should leave. But don't say that, oh, we should trade him to the L.A. Dodgers.
Why not?
That's why I don't watch baseball now.
Why shouldn't we
it's
say
garbage.
It? Why shouldn't we say it?
You guys perpetuate that.
Why is it
it's
our fault?
Garbage.
So
why
are we, because, why are we because we're perpetuating it? You know you're, we're the reason you're not watching baseball?
Listen, bro.
Bro.
If you know better, go ahead and trade him. I guarantee you, I, and him will be dead before we ever win the championship. You don't trade away your best player. We sat there and held on to the jelly ball batter all of those years and talked about how great he was, and he didn't do a damn thing to get us to a World Series.
Okay, Bobby, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. If Scooble is on the roster this year.
He's the best player. That's all I want to hear. He's the best player on the team. You do what you need to do.
We're not
to get players around him.
We're not debating that.
So, Bobby, I just want you to understand
something.
We're
not debating that. I agree with you. He is by far the best player on the roster. But if he is on the roster this year, do you think they win the World Series?
Okay, then we talk about it after next year.
So when he leaves for nothing, Bobby, when he leaves for nothing and signs with L.A. or New York and we get nothing for him, are you going to be satisfied?
Can I say this?
Yeah.
Can I say this?
Of course.
As much vigor and anger we have towards him, why isn't anybody emphasizing how ridiculous our batters are? Okay.
Do you listen?
He doesn't, John.
Hear me out.
Go ahead, Bobby.
I'm talking about the people to call.
All right, yeah, since you won't stop talking, we'll listen.
Okay. What I'm saying to you is, if he had done seven and a quarter innings of pitching, okay, he gets us to the eighth or ninth inning. All right, we can't get one damn base runner across the home home base.
Mm-hmm.
Then what does he do then? Do you blame him then? We have nobody that hits the ball.
Bobby,
then,
I feel like
that's what the problem is.
Okay,
that's
so Bobby, who do you want to add as a bat? How about that?
No,
how about give us an answer?
You guys are the geniuses as to what we need to do. Then you figure it out.
No, Bobby, you're the genius. You called in with all the answers.
Yeah.
It's like, welcome to this format. We're going to talk.
Yeah.
We're going to give opinions.
And how many times has my partner talked about Chapman or Bregman or Suarez or, I mean, are you kidding me?
I'll put him down for keep Scooble.
Yeah.
Right. That's what we're asking. Like, I don't know. We'll just move on. You anything else to say about that phone call?
Bobby, thank you for calling.
Okay. Jeff and Fenton, you're on 97.1.
Hi. I just heard you say you're kind of hoping it's true.
Yeah.
About the trade. You have no idea what he's getting back, and you're ready to unload him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what the value is, but you're excited about it.
I'm excited about a direction. You can't be half wet. Scott Harris is half wet right now. He's not going to go all in. And I'm worried he's going to keep the pitcher, not win a World Series, and lose him for nothing. So, yeah, given the lousy 7-2 offsuit hand I was dealt, I'm hoping that I get a good draw.
And Jeff, what I said earlier was I do think they should trade him, but I'm going to reserve what I think about the trade until I find out what they get in return. You're right. We don't know what we get in return.
And that's exactly what you should wait for, your partner should wait for, instead of just celebrating the fact that they're trading him. He's the best pitcher in baseball. Just unloading him makes
for six
no
innings.
Sense at all. Okay, well, that's something. That's a start.
Jeff.
He's won the Cy Young 2 years in a row, so apparently he's considered one of the best pitchers in baseball.
He's an incredible pitcher. You could. They aren't willing to.
Well, that's an ownership issue.
Well, I can't go change the owner. I can't go make Scott Harris sign a contract. I can't make Scooble sign a contract. All I can do is deal with the lousy hand I'm dealt. I got a small market mindset. I got a player who's going to leave. Yeah, I'm hoping they don't let him go for nothing.
And you
got
to deal with a clown of an agent.
Dude, the situation's not fun. Like,
Jeff, we got two on air.
I don't know. I'm hitting a bunch of buttons here. I don't know what I just did.
Look at all this, though. This is.
Hey, wait a second. We got Jamie on air.
Jamie, are you here too? Put Jamie on the air.
I'm sorry. Start over. We got so flustered. We hit the wrong buttons.
Go ahead.
I understand the fluster. I am chips to the center. Go all in. Get all wet about this. Feet first. Cannonball. Bichette. Alonzo. Go for it. We're here for it.
Jamie, I agree. We would love Bichette, Alonzo, Bregman. Go sign them all.
Just sign them, and then at All-Star break, if it's no bueno, get a starter in exchange for Scooble, and then try to get a second-half push going. And at least you got bats in the lineup and some excitement going.
Yeah, I'm just trying to live in the real world. I don't think that's going to happen. I've long said, go get me Bregman, go get me Bichette, go get me a couple bats, and then let's chase the championship, and I'll roll the dice. But any indication that's going to happen? My God,
I'm a little fired up there.
I didn't pick this problem, this predicament that the Tigers find themselves in.
All this,
in.
Though, is the smoke. There's so much smoke and chaos around this right now. It's hard for me to see him pitching for them next year.
Yeah.
Let's get to Heather with the news.
This news is sponsored by Gardner White. Let's see. Oh, this is not the news I wanted to share with you. This is the news I want to share with you. Atlanta Falcons wide receiver KJ Osborne is from Ypsilanti, and he recently returned home to help a family in need. So he paid the full remaining rent balance for a family of three living in an apartment complex. So the check that he gave the family was for $4,269. But what's really cool about the story was not the fact that he was able to help this family, but it was really a full circle moment for him. Because he, at one point in his childhood, lived at that exact same apartment complex with his mom and his sister. And when they lived there, they also received some rent assistance. So he said it just felt so great to be able to give back in the same way that somebody gave to them when they were in need. And he just also says that, you know, he's routinely given back to his hometown and he's grateful to be able to do so. So great story there. The two men who posed as DTE workers and murdered a Rochester Hills man in his home last year were in court on Tuesday. They were both sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Now, neither man spoke in their own defense before an Oakland County judge called them absolutely pathetic. The judge also told them that she hopes that they are haunted by the victim's last words for the rest of their lives. And before the sentencing, all three of the victim's sons gave victim impact statements. They described their father as a kind, warm, and brave man. First responders in Sterling Heights, as well as bystanders, were able to save a woman's life and pull her out of a burning vehicle in Sterling Heights on Monday evening. So officers were called to this serious crash. This was near 18 Mile and Van Dyke around 6:30. And that's when they discovered there was an older woman trapped inside the vehicle. And five officers just jumped into action. They were able to pull her from the vehicle, carry her to safety, proceeded to apply a tourniquet. They stabilized her until she was able to get to the hospital. And here's one of the officers, John Mark Branch, talking about this rescue. Yeah, so these officers are now being praised for their actions. And it sounds like they did, in fact, save her life. Well, at the age of 44 and as a new grandpa, former NFL star Philip Rivers is coming out of retirement and getting back to work. On Tuesday, the Indianapolis Colts signed him to their practice squad. Now, he hasn't played since the 2020 season, and he will now be the oldest active player in the NFL and only the second grandpa ever to play in the league.
Who's the other one?
Brett Favre.
Oh, okay.
So there you have it. So he does have 10 children. Obviously, he just welcomed his first grandchild, a 6-month-old grandson at home now. So hopefully he doesn't injure himself.
I say desperate times.
Those old bones.
I don't see it going well for him.
I'm really interested to see what this is like. And if he does play, that is a must watch on Sunday.
It's Heather with the news. Evan Petzold from Orlando covers the Tigers for the Free Press. We'll get the latest from the winter meetings. It's 97.1. If you're injured in a car accident, with the way the roads are today, I hope it doesn't happen to you. But if you find yourself in that spot, call Lawrence Cagey at Cagey Law. Cagey Law is one of the few law firms in the country specializing in car accidents. You're going to want Cagey Law because Lawrence Cagey has won millions for his clients. Fights hard, he wins, and he's going to win big for you. If you, a friend or a loved one, someone you care about, is injured in a car accident, you need Cagey Law. 877-KG-CARES. That's K-A-J-Y, KGCARES.com.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
I'm Mark Sullinger, producer and one of the hosts of The Moth Podcast. For nearly 2 decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Covers the Tigers for the Detroit Free Press. He's down in Orlando for the winter meetings. He is Evan Petzold. And Evan, just so you understand, our drive into work today, snowy, treacherous, whose lane is it anyway? I'm assuming conditions a little nicer in Orlando?
A little bit nicer in Orlando, yes. But some cloudy weather the first 2 days
here
at the winter meetings. And then we should get some sunshine here today in the afternoon. But much better than driving around in the snow. Not knowing where you're going.
When are you coming back?
Coming back tonight, actually. So the Rule 5 draft is tonight where, you know, some minor league names get moved around. And then after that, I'll be coming back to shovel my driveway.
So let's start with Tarek Skubal. What are you hearing? What's the latest?
Yeah, Tarek Skubal is the hottest name here at the winter meetings. And just to get this out of the way, I don't think the Tigers will trade him. I don't think the Tigers will extend him. And I don't think the Tigers will go all in to win with him before free agency. As for the latest, the Tigers have shifted their tune. They had these flurries of no comments at the general manager meetings in November. And now here at the winter meetings, Scott Harris is saying that he's listening to offers. So the Tigers are entertaining Tarek Skubal trade offers. There's no question about that. I think the Dodgers and the Mets are the top teams that could trade for him. As of how the upcoming expiration of the collective bargaining agreement impacts this situation with the chances of a lockout, I don't know that anyone truly knows. But as a reminder, the CBA doesn't expire until December 1st, 2026. And as we know, free agency starts at the beginning of November. So if a team like the Dodgers, if they want to sign Tarek Skubal for more than $400 million in the first month of free agency next offseason, they can. I mean, right before the expiration of the last CBA, we saw the Texas Rangers sign both Corey Seager for $300 million and Marcus Semien for $175 million. So I don't think the CBA hurts Tarek Skubal. I think it could actually help him if there is a deadline for teams to make moves. Deadlines force action, and if you're Tarek Skubal, you want all the action you can get next offseason. As for where we're at right now, Scott Harris, he is afraid to take a risk. I think that kind of leads me to believe that they're going to keep Tarek Skubal, let him walk after the season, collect the draft pick after the first round when he signs elsewhere in free agency. Like, if Scott Harris is too scared to build around him, then how is Scott Harris going to have the guts to trade him? For a trade to happen, I think the Tigers would have just had to be overwhelmed by the return. But Tigers view Skubal as the best pitcher in baseball. The other 29 teams say he's a one-year rental. It just makes it hard to line up on value.
Do we know if the Tigers have made any credible offers to him in the last couple months since the season ended?
As for a contract extension, I haven't heard about any renewed negotiations between the Tigers and Skubal. Like, the last I heard is what I've reported, 4 years, less than $100 million after the 2024 season. Publicly, his agent, Scott Boras, has come out and talked at both the general manager meetings and the winter meetings this offseason about Tarek Skubal being ready to listen to anything and everything from the Tigers. So that makes me think that they are still waiting on another offer from the Tigers.
So you opened it up by saying you don't think they trade him. You don't think they extend him. So let's start with the first trade. Why not? Why not trade him?
I just think it makes it really hard to line up on value. Like, if you want to get what you think Tarek Skubal is worth, but other teams view him as a one-year rental, that's really difficult to line up on a trade. And if you say, oh, the Dodgers could trade for him and then sign him to an extension, why would Scott Boras do that? Like, for example, if the Dodgers are willing to trade for Skubal right now and sign him for $400 million before he hits free agency, well, what if the New York Mets are willing to do $450 million in free agency? And then what if the Dodgers would then be willing to go to $500 million in free agency? And maybe the New York Yankees go crazy and they say, you know what, we'll do $550 million. I mean, a trade and sign scenario is not going to accomplish a bidding war. And I think Scott Boras wants a bidding war for Tarek Skubal in free agency, specifically before the CBA expires. And then in terms of what you're getting back, like, if you're the Tigers and you decide that you're not going to trade him, you can't extend him, and if they're not going to go all in to win with him, because they didn't do that last year, remember. Like, they had the opportunity to go all in at the trade deadline to win with Tarek Skubal, and they didn't do it. So what makes you think they're going to do that in 2026? I just think that if that happens and the Tigers don't win the World Series, that's going to be a huge blemish on Scott Harris's resume. I know he doesn't like to take risks, but to me, like, doing nothing when you have a Hall of Fame caliber talent like Tarek Skubal in this situation is a pretty big risk, and it could come back to haunt him. I just think a trade is so much easier said than done, especially when the two sides just aren't going to align on value, because the Tigers, understandably so, they want a haul. But a team like the Dodgers, the Mets, the Yankees, whoever it may be, they're still going to view him as a one-year rental because that trade and sign is just so unlikely.
Talking to Evan Petzl, Detroit Free Press. He's down at the winter meetings covering the Tigers and all things baseball. Who are players that the Tigers have been linked to at the meetings?
That's a big question. What happens next? I mean, we got Jack Flaherty back, Gleyber Torres back, Kyle Finnegan now has returned. Drew Anderson signed for $7 million coming over from the Korea baseball organization. So the 2026 Tigers are looking a lot like the 2025 Tigers. I think running it back is probably not a solution that you want if you want to ultimately win the World Series. But one new name to keep an eye on from the position player side is shortstop Ha-Sung Kim. I think he could be an even better fit than Alex Bregman. Now, I'm not calling Ha-Sung Kim a better player than Alex Bregman, but for how the Tigers are talking and for how we've watched the Tigers act under Scott Harris, Ha-Sung Kim just seems like a better fit than Alex Bregman. The Tigers say they don't want to block their young players, which doesn't make any sense because they continue to block guys by locking Gleyber Torres in as a second base only player. But if you don't want to block Colt Keith from playing third base and you don't want to block Max Anderson from playing third base, and that's what I'm expecting, Colt Keith against righties, Max Anderson against lefties, they're at third base for opening day. If you don't want to block those guys, Ha-Sung Kim is a good fit because his primary position is shortstop, so we push Javi Baez to a more fitting utility role. The Tigers want that from Javi Baez anyway. They want him to play some shortstop, some center field, maybe some other positions in 2026. When Ha-Sung Kim is right, it's elite swing decisions, a ton of contact with the bat-to-ball skills, drawn walks, limiting strikeouts. Like, he probably wouldn't hit in the top half of the lineup, at least not right away, but he would provide some significant length to the lineup. That's where Ha-Sung Kim comes in. I think there is open playing time there at shortstop. As for pitchers, the Tigers have shown interest in guys like Michael King for the rotation, Pete Fairbanks for the bullpen, but that was before signing Drew Anderson for 1 year, $7 million, and Kyle Finnegan for 2 years, $19 million. So I think we could be looking at, I know this is scary for you guys, but and for all Tigers fans too, we may be looking at more Finnegan and friends in the bullpen. I don't think the Tigers are going to make another big upgrade to the rotation either. I think Drew Anderson may have been their big rotation upgrade, even though he's probably going to wind up in the bullpen, and Kyle Finnegan was probably their big bullpen upgrade. I think you're going to see the Tigers sign a lot of depth starters, a lot of depth relievers to compete for jobs in spring training and ultimately fill roles in Triple-A Toledo. Do not count on a big-name starter or a big-name reliever, but definitely keep an eye on Ha-Sung Kim at shortstop.
So I want to go back and ask you a couple of questions about Skubal. If they're not going to trade him, they're not going to extend him. In your estimation, you've researched this, you know more about this than anybody else that we've talked to. What is the best scenario? What's the best outcome that we can expect for the Tigers and Skubal scenario?
The best scenario is, in this case, if the Tigers can't extend him. And if they don't trade him, the best scenario then would be to go into 2026. And it seems like they may just run it back outside of a few extra additions and you win the World Series. Like, that is the best case scenario, is you find a way to get past the ALDS. You get into the ALCS, you surprise somebody, you win the World Series. And that's where I do think, again, like, Scott Harris does not like to take risks, but if the Tigers do nothing here, if they stand pat, they hold on to Tarek Skubal, they try to win the World Series, then they let him walk in free agency, they get the draft pick compensation after the first round, like, they can go that route, but you better win the World Series. And if you don't, that's a huge blemish that could come back to haunt Scott Harris.
Well, and it becomes a risk in its own way, right? There's the risk that you don't win the World Series. So even if you don't want to take risks, you're kind of forced to take some level of risk in this offseason going into next year. Before we get you out of here, you had the headline, Tigers lukewarm on Alex Bregman. And we know they pursued him heavily a year ago, and maybe they will again this year. Why would they not be interested the way they were a year ago?
Alex Bregman is such a great player, such a great leader behind the scenes. He does everything that you would want him to do, but you're right. The latest update there is the Tigers entered the winter meetings with lukewarm interest in Alex Bregman. And from everything I've gathered over the past 2 days, the Tigers are not preparing to chase Bregman this offseason like they chased him last offseason. Do I think Alex Bregman will be a Tiger in 2026? No. I don't think he will be a Tiger in 2026. Now, that can change right, if the Tigers redefine their interest, but nothing that I'm hearing from either side right now is linking the Tigers to Bregman like it was last offseason.
I'm just going to ask, and you maybe got to speculate here, like, why the change? Because last year it felt like they were much more serious. If you had to speculate or what you're hearing, why would that same interest not be there now?
Yeah, I just think we know the Tigers like him as a player, and we know the Tigers offered him the 6 years, $171.5 million with an op-ed after 2026 last offseason. Then Bregman signs with the Red Sox. I think there were some sour feelings there on the Tigers side of things, but as much as Bregman turned down the Tigers, and we've talked about this before, the Tigers also turned down Bregman. Like, the Tigers rejected two offers from Bregman's camp last offseason, 6 years, $186 with an op-ed after 2025, and 7 years, $200. So the truth is, the Tigers could have had Alex Bregman if they simply accepted one of those. I also think that we have to talk about the payroll. Like, that is a situation where, you know, Tigers, a lot of people think they're acting like a small market. But when I think about the market, small, mid, large, like, take a look at the payroll. Like, the Tigers have a projected payroll of $175 million in 2026, which ranks 14th among the 30 MLB teams right now. Now, that can change before opening day, but in 2025, the Tigers had a payroll that was at $143 million. So the projected payroll for 2026 is actually higher than the 2025 payroll by nearly $15 million. So I think having a payroll that ranks around 14th in MLB, like, that is the definition of a mid-market, but it's higher than where it was last season. So, I mean, you talk about trying to bring Alex Bregman back. You're pushing $180 million for the 2026 payroll. Like, that's not something the Tigers have shown any willingness to do. So I think that's a part of it as well.
He's Evan Petzold. Enjoy the sun, because there's not going to be much when you get back here.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it. Anytime.
Covers the Tigers for the Detroit Free Press, 97.1.
Value-driven banking begins with First Merchants Bank. And when I have questions about my finances, I turn to my bank, and that's First Merchants Bank. I know that their attentive local bankers are 100% interested in listening to my situation and in helping me find the answers that I need. First Merchants doesn't provide cookie-cutter solutions or check off boxes when it comes to financial advice. They take the time to learn about my life, my personal financial goal, and work with me to build a plan that fits my situation. And that's because First Merchants Bank really cares. They see me as a person, as an individual, not just as a number on a spreadsheet. And they're going to do all they can to help their customers and communities succeed. You can count on that, since First Merchants Bank is staffed by local bankers who know and are passionate about the needs of the local community, because it's their community as well. And we all have to work together to help it continue to prosper. To get started on your personalized financial solution today, you can visit them at firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC.
A lot of response to Evan Petzold. We'll get some of your calls and some texts. He's down at the winter meetings, giving you the boots on the ground perspective of what's going on with the Tigers this offseason. 8 o'clock hour, chance to win Lions tickets for their final home game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Text. Thanks, Evan. That was the most deflating interview ever. Well, that conversation gave me 0% confidence, just counting the days until Harris gets fired. We want a GM that takes some risks and convince ownership that it's worth it. Chris in Washington.
Yeah. Wow. I'd get something done.
Yeah, you can't just sit on your hands. I mean, because there's risk in doing nothing, too. Says, well, I didn't know we had to simply accept Bregman's offer. That's actually upsetting. This team is going to lose a generation of fans if they keep approaching roster management like this. I wish I could coast at my job like Scott does. Yeah, stuff like that flooding in the texts. Let's get to Roy. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, living in Toledo and seeing the Mud Hens like I do, I just for kicks and giggles 2 weeks ago was looking at the Tigers' very own top 25 prospects. Mm-hmm. And I would say 85% of them, in terms of pitching themselves, are double A and below, all the way to the lowest of A ball. Having said that, none of them will help us next year. As much as I like Scooble and what he presents, he does have injuries that do alarm me. Having seen a Jack Morris and a Verlander, he's not worth the $400 million. He's not the bulldog durable like they were. He's the, like you guys had mentioned, six innings, as far under 100 pitches as can be, every 5 days type guy. That's not $400 million value. What I think should happen, and this is just me, I think we should get some pitchers, whether they be dog starters, because people want to come to Detroit. They see the rejuvenation of the program, and they want to be part of that. Strong starting pitchers, decent middle relief, which I think Melton will be, and then somebody that you can go to without a doubt for that eighth inning so you get to your ninth inning. If we nail down the pitching, we can get people to hit for a lot cheaper than a Bregman or anyone else. That's just how I feel.
I'm just not seeing the path to them. I mean, look, young players can get better, but the last 2 years in the postseason, they've come up short. They need another bat. And to just hope and
cheaper.
Who is this bat that I'm waiting for?
That we haven't, we've already looked at $150 million and above as who we need. We've not looked at who can we get for $60 to $110 million, who can be almost as good, doesn't have any injuries, doesn't have that accept my offer or else type mentality, that wants to join for whatever pitcher or for whatever position it is.
If you want to settle, you can settle, or you can try to get the best, and they don't want to chase the best.
Well, they haven't done either.
Right, or even settle.
And yeah. That's the thing. Everything is a slow roll. Yeah. With this team, like, it just keeps the only thing I can gain from anything right now is that it's always been about 27. That's the starting point that they're kind of getting. This has been gravy in their minds because I think they're afraid of long-term commitment. I think they got burned by Javi and, yeah. And you don't want, they want to guarantee that won't happen again. And you can't get that in sports. You can run, you can do business guarantees, and you're pretty much like, yeah, this is a home run. We're going to make a ton of money off this. We're going to make wise investments. But in sports, you can't quite run it that way like a business. That's just an assumption. Look at the money that they paid Cabrera and Baez for all those years and the production you got.
Yeah, you can't let the Javi Baez contract stop you from handing out real long-term commitments to people.
Right, I mean, and if they're afraid of that, that's coming from ownership because Scott Harris didn't hand out that contract.
Right.
Right, and look, it's an assumption here to a degree. That's got to sting when you have something like that happen to you. I mean, the production you got from Javi's contract is a joke. It was a horrible, horrible investment.
It's a bad signing.
Yeah, so now when you explore doing something like this again with Alex Bregman, you want that option. You want that out just in case you might get burned.
Right. And I think, but that only reinforces the fear that this is a small market mindset. Like a small market team would put their toe in the water one time, get burned, and say never again, or be very cautious to do it again. A mid or even big market team would say, we understand that we're going to miss occasionally, but when we're chasing a championship, like this is kind of the cost of doing business.
Right.
You're going to spend bad money in sports.
You can't avoid that. Right. Well, I mean, you can. You're just like the Rays and the A's. And nobody wants to sit and be a fan of those teams.
Right, but they were, unlike those teams in the Bregman thing, they just want the out, just in case.
Just in case.
Right.
I mean, it was the sticking point.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. 8 o'clock hour, we got the power surge, John's top six teams in the NFL. We've got Lions tickets to give away. For people who don't know how that works, name that Lion. You got an hour of radio where there will be three clues. One clue isn't going to give it away. Two clues, not going to give it away. You're going to want to hear all three clues so you can call in to name that Lion. Don't call in early. Greg is a very nice man, but he cannot take your guesses until the very end when we play the sounder and the voice guy says, now's your chance to call in. Listen for that, and that'll be your chance to win the tickets.
Or similar to that.
Yeah, better than that.
He kind of sounded like you, John, when he just did that.
Oh, he lowered his voice.
Yeah.
8 o'clock hour, we got three clues. Be listening for your chance to win Lions tickets. We didn't get to it at the end of the hour, but I do want to offer up a little bit of hope for people. We're talking about losing a superstar in Tarek Skubal potentially here. There is a superstar player, different sport, that one of our teams are starting to get whispered and talked about with.
Oh, in addition. An upgrade.
An upgrade and a star player. Insiders are talking. Mix that in the 8 o'clock hour. Also want to get after after this winter weather because I know everybody's dealing with it today. So
it's a tough ride. Hope everyone out there, eyes open, both hands on the wheel.
Do all of it coming up next right here, 97.1.
I'm Emma Greed, host of Aspire with Emma Greed, a podcast where I sit down with people who don't just dream big, they build big. From culture-shaping voices like Mel Robbins to leaders redefining success like Tracy Ellis Ross to game-changing entrepreneurs like Mark Cuban, Aspire is about mindset, ambition, and doing the work that actually moves the needle. If you're ready to raise your standards and take charge about the life and career you're building, Aspire is where you start. Follow and listen to Aspire with me, Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast available wherever you get your podcasts.